We are back. It is Valentine's Day, February 14th, and it is my guest, recurring guest, Pat Bovard. It is his birthday, so happy birthday, sir.
Hey, thank you. You know, it's great to hit the James Shields birthday, you know, the big old 25, so I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, glad to have you, and we are talking Dog Show. Westminster Dog Show took place this past week, and it was a doozy. It's always a great event for when you get to, you know, see it and watch the spectacle that it is, because it truly is a spectacle. You know, it's a sport as much as it is a spectacle, but these animals are awesome. Everybody loves dogs.
Oh yeah, you know, you got something for everybody. You got the dog nerds that are more into like what is each breed gonna be, who's gonna surprise, who's back. Then you get the people that, hey, you're flipping through the TV and you see a bunch of dogs walking around. I mean,
right.
What beats that?
Right.
You know, like to paraphrase once good quarterback Jameis Winston, these aren't puppies, they're dogs, folks.
They are dogs.
They are dogs.
They are dogs. Florida State. So let's start with the whole process. Like I said, it's a two-day show. It takes place at Madison Square Garden. They're split up into seven different groups, categories, if you will. Talk us through that whole setup and then what goes into actually deciding who wins each group, what they have to do.
So, yeah, so leading into the competition, the first day, the Monday, is the first four groups. You got the hounds, the toy dogs, the non-sporting, and the herding dogs. So that morning, all of the breeds in each of those groups, there's a competition. So there's however many dogs that qualify of the same breed, they're all shown, and the best of each breed is determined. So the best of each breed is theoretically the dog that most well represents the standard of the dog's breed. So each breed has a standard. This is what this dog is supposed to look like. It's how it's supposed to act, its demeanor, all that. So whatever dog of each breed best exemplifies that advances onto the group. So once we get the groups, that's later in the night. That's the one on the main floor of the garden, the big time events. That's where you got
the bright lights. That's where you got to perform.
That's where, you know, that's when the real players come out. You know, last year we had Flynn the Bichon. He was let me tell you, that was a dog.
He's a winner.
You know, we joke about it because some of these owners will say like, oh, if the dog knows what's going on, you know, you'll think like it's a freaking dog. How does it know what's going on? But you know, some of them, they got, I don't know what it is, but they got it.
They have the it factor. And honestly, you know, reading through your posts at letmebefrankblog.com, you broke down each day, and it very much seems like these dogs take on personality traits throughout the show. And you mentioned, like, some play to the crowd, some enjoy the noise, and then others kind of just are who they are. You know, they're so locked in their trained ways that that's what they do.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's crazy because, you know, not each breed is supposed to have the same personality. So, like, for example, when you had Biggie the Pug walking down the aisle, that dog had swagger. He was, you know, playing to the crowd, smiling. You got the Pomeranian who's doing the same thing. Didn't perform so well, but, you know. And then every now and then you'll see a dog like the Bichon that's supposed to have a more energetic personality, more playful. And this year it just looked a little bit scared out there. So, you know, so a lot of that can either work for you or against you, depending on how the breed's supposed to be.
Yeah, the jitters really get to you. But there are criteria, like you mentioned. Everyone knows the whole, like, prop the dog up on the table, we're going to go around, look at the fur, look at the snout, look at the teeth, all that stuff. What, I guess, it all goes into the final, but what is the most important part, do you think? Or have you seen recently that's taken precedent over other things?
So I don't think, I think, you know, the appearance, you know, the bite, tail length, proportions, all that, that's all fair and good. But by the time you get to the best in group determinations, the best in show, all the dogs that are there have that perfectly. So that's not as important. What it really comes down to is personality. Like, which dog is going to make you look at it when it's walking around?
Right.
You know, it's not, if it's standing there and it looks pretty, that's one thing. But, you know, if this dog is walking around, and, you know, you can, as much as a dog can, it feels like it's getting into it. It feels like it's attracting attention. That's what a judge is going to remember.
So it really is the it factor.
Yeah, I think, you know, that's a big part of it. It's one, how much personality it has, and two, how it moves. Because the appearance is great, but if it doesn't move well for its breed, doesn't move at the right pace, doesn't move with the right steps, then that also takes away from all the other things.
Right. So we have the seven groups. There were four on the first day. The Dachshund wins the Hound. The toy group was won by the Havanese. The non-sporting by the Schipperke. And the herding was won by the Bouvier de Flanders.
Yeah, Flandres. I don't speak French, but that sounds right.
Yeah, that is that's my best guess at it. I listened to Google pronounce it, and that's what I'm going with. But those four, I guess the skipper key was a little bit of a surprise, seemingly. But again, it's hard to kind of pick out the favorites other than, you know, what you've got to go off of and what you see. So did everything seem right? Obviously, you had watched it through and through. Were there any surprises in these four?
So I think the interesting thing about these groups is you had a lot of the perennial contenders. For example, you had the Beagle coming in third in the Hound group. A few years ago, the Beagle Miss P was best in show. So the Beagles are always strong showers. Toy group, you had Biggie the Pug, named after the hip-hop artist Notorious B.I.G. He won best in group last year, came in second this year, but he was a crowd favorite. You move down to the non-sporting group. The French Bulldog's always popular. He was in second.
Right.
You had the Poodle. Poodle's always big dog at these shows. And then the herding group was just stacked. You had the German Shepherd, which a few years ago became the only herding dog to ever win best in show. They had the number one overall ranked dog going into the show, the Old English Sheepdog. We also had a Border Collie that won best in group last year that I thought that dog had as much personality as anybody, but, you know, just lost out in a tough group. So I think with these groups, you had a lot of the bigger names there, but it was newer names that won. Like in the herding group, you had all these just absolute powerhouse dogs, and you had the Bouvier de Flanders coming in and winning. Skipper Key, that was the first Skipper Key ever to win best in group, and it beat out the Frenchie, the Chow Chow, and the Poodle. Toy group, Havanese, first of its breed ever to advance to best in show, beating out the Pug, heavy favorite. And then, yeah, the Dachshund may not have been the favorite there, but so I think you had a good mix of new breeds kind of showing up and also the old favorites that people like seeing.
Yeah, it's always interesting because I am terrible. I'm terrible at distinguishing dog breeds. Like when I see a dog, I know obviously the basic ones, but outside of that, I'll look at them and be like, what in the hell is this? A lot of these, like the Skipper Key, no idea. Bouvier, no idea. Havanese, no idea. I had no, and then you look at a picture of them and you're like, oh, I've seen a dog like that before.
Yeah, exactly. It's interesting because now you kind of put names to them, which I know every year I watch this and there's a half dozen breeds I see that I'm like, I don't remember ever seeing this thing before. Like, what the hell is this thing? But, you know, it's always interesting to see because you get the, because and oftentimes a lot of the more popular breeds, like say the Pomeranian, the Golden Retriever, they never, you know, they don't. It's not the popular breeds that win. There's a lot more other things that go into it, so it's not just the crowd favorites.
Like the pet dogs aren't necessarily, or I guess the popular breeds for the pets aren't necessarily the ones that win all the time. Day two, we've got the final three groups: the Working, the Terrier, and the Sporting. Working is my favorite because it's all the big dogs. I'm a big dog guy. And then it all goes to the best in show. Sussex Spaniel wins the Sporting group. The Working breed is won by the Boxer. And the Wire Fox Terrier wins the Terrier group. Interesting. I don't know what to think of these. Like, I thought the Boxer was very cool. He looked ripped. Like, that was the funny part. He actually looked muscular.
A monster.
Yeah. Like, he could take you in a boxing ring. So it was funny seeing that. The Sussex Spaniel was, they're all, like, super good-looking dogs, super cute dogs. But through it all, I wasn't sure which of these really was going to take home best in show. But I guess let's talk about those last three groups before we get into the best in show.
Yeah, so the Sporting group, we kind of mentioned there's a lot of the more popular dogs in this one. You got the Golden Retrievers, all the kinds of the Labs.
Yep.
Ultimately, there was a lot of Spaniels dominating. You got the Sussex winning, the American Water Spaniel in third, and the Black Cocker Spaniel in fourth. Sussex Spaniel, you know, it had a great coat. It moved well. Can't really argue with that decision. The Working group, you got a lot of big... Yeah, these are the athletes. You got the Boxer who won, who, you know, the way he moved, the way the muscles just, you could see him working, was incredible. The Siberian Husky was beautiful. My favorite in the group was the Akita.
Those are great dogs. Yeah.
That thing was first one to go, and I said, that's going to be hard to beat. Ended up making the finals, but couldn't quite pull it off in the Working group. And then you have some weird things like the Commodore, which is a, like, basically a, looks like a mop, but it's always up there.
Right.
So those dogs, I guess they're producing good ones that are getting out there and representing the breed well.
And that's the Great Dane as well, correct?
Yeah, Great Dane. You got the Mastiff, so think Hercules from the Sandlot. Exactly. Scooby-Doo for the Great Danes.
Yep.
I think all best in show
in their own right.
Oh, yeah. You know, yeah, it's an interesting group because you got, yeah, the St. Bernard, you got Rottweilers, you got all sorts of just beasts.
Yep.
And then the last group of the day, the Terriers, which I know I'm personally not a big Terrier guy.
Yeah.
It's a pretty specific group. They said during the broadcast only 5 of the breeds in this group were not originated on the British Isles. So pretty specific there. The
bourgeois.
Yeah, you know, this is the dynasty. You got, I mean, they've won the most best in shows. Wire Fox Terrier, who won the group, that breed going into the night had won 14 total. The most of all time. The second dynasty. Most of all time, yeah, seriously, was the Scottish Terrier, who had won 12 total as a breed. So those were 1 and 2. It's been going on for 143 years, and 26 of them were between 2 Terrier breeds. So the judges love the Terriers. I guess maybe that's why I'm not judging, but...
Right, right. I feel like it'd just be so easy to go away from the Terriers, because like you said, there's so many of them.
Yeah,
it feels like one of those things where the more there are, like the harder it would be to differentiate each other. But I guess that's clearly not the case, because they find ways to do it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like the way the king, the Wire Fox Terrier, he was, you know, his walk was very distinct. He was, you know, strutting around like he knew what everything was going his way. But yeah, like there's a lot of similar dogs. You got the, I can't think of the breed now, it's escaping me, but the Target dog. You had that. There's a white one and a colored one.
Yes, I cannot think of its name.
I should know this, but I can't think of it. There's a lot of the Terriers just look similar. Like the Norwich and the Norfolk Terrier are basically two different little teddy bears.
Right.
They're always favorites. So the Terrier just, you know, it's a powerhouse group that always performs strongly.
And people may be wondering why we spent so much time on the Terrier group. It's because the Wire Fox Terrier was, in fact, the best in show. His name was King, I believe.
Yep.
Hell of a name.
Yeah,
just given the history of the breed and where it ended up in terms of the show, yeah. it all just felt right. Yeah.
Can't beat a best in show dog named King.
Right.
You know, it's like this dog was born to do it. It's like American Pharaoh. Like, okay, Pharaoh, he's winning races. Well, this dog is a king, and he's, you know, just taking home the purple ribbon.
Absolutely. So there was some drama. There was some controversy. Every good dog show has one. This wasn't Nancy Kerrigan stuff, Tanya Harding. This was the Skipper Key, like we mentioned, underdog story, true, you know, what America wants to see.
Yeah.
The breed that wasn't supposed to be there ended up getting there, and explain what happened exactly.
So yeah, Skipper Key, like we said, you know, this is the first Skipper Key to ever make best in show. This is one of the breeds, when I was watching the first night, I had never heard of it before.
Right.
Didn't recognize it. So when it won, I was shocked. And it would be cool seeing a new dog win best in show. It doesn't happen that often where the dog's the first of its breed to win best in show. However, before the finals, the Skipper Key was ruled ineligible. The best in show judge apparently has a working relationship with co-owning some dogs with the Skipper Key's owner and handler. So, in order to avoid a potential conflict of interest, they ruled the Skipper Key ineligible. So it wasn't anything the dog did. It was just, I guess, you know, they said to preserve the integrity of the sport.
Instead of just changing the judge, they decided to disqualify the dog.
Which, you know, is a shame. They still let him go out there and do his victory lap with the rest of them before they asked him to leave the floor, which was good. You know, he at least got his moment in the sun. But,
right.
You know, one, I feel bad for the Skipper Key. Obviously deserved to be out there. And two, all the other dogs that were competing in the non-sporting group, in the non-sporting group then don't have a...
Right,
they don't have a chance to get out there, so it's a shame. But you know, I don't know how much of a contender he would have been for best of show. You know, like we'll never know at
this point.
Exactly, it's, you know, it's a real NCAA like term for the Westminster Kennel Club, like ruling dogs ineligible. But you know, like we said, you got to have some drama with a dog show.
It is. It's an interesting turn in that story. A couple things on that. Again, I don't know why they don't just change whoever the best in show judge is, but you were mentioning before we started that the best in show judge doesn't actually watch any of the groups. He or she is just isolated and then goes out, and when they see the dogs, it is the first time seeing the dogs.
Yeah, so basically the best in show judge, it's a pretty honorary position. Whoever is appointed is somebody who's been around the sport for a long time. Like this guy, I think Peter Green was his name. You know, he was a Best in Show winning handler back in, I think, the 80s.
Of course.
He's bred a ton of dogs, been around. So it's an honor. But yeah, basically they're kept in isolation, not isolation, but they're quarantined from hearing about the show the first 2 days. They know what breeds are going to be going in there, but they haven't seen it, so to avoid any sort of bias. So, these judges, the Best in Show judge needs to know, let's say the terrier judge, they need to know all the terriers, their standards, what the dogs are supposed to look like, how they're supposed to act, how fast they're supposed to move. This judge has to know every breed of dog, so it's obviously somebody that knows what they're doing.
Right.
For example, like this guy, he was walking out there, making whistling noises, making weird sounds to the dogs just to see how their ears reacted. So, obviously it's a very thorough thing. Some of it's probably a little bit of nitpicking.
He's like the Showtime Joe West of the group.
Yeah, exactly.
Essentially.
He's out there, he's putting on a show and making sure he gets the best dog out there. But so it's pretty crazy how strict some of these procedures are.
Yeah, so he does that. They end up going with the Wire Fox Terrier. I feel like there's a bias towards small dogs. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like it's harder if you're a big dog. I feel like there's too much that can go wrong if you're a big dog, whether it be the coat, the teeth, tail, whatever it is.
Yeah, I think, obviously as a more of a lay person in the sport, I think
of course.
The bigger dogs tend to move a little bit less gracefully than some of the smaller dogs. The way the Terrier was moving around, the Reserve Best in Show, which is second place for those of you keeping score at home, the Havanese, the way it moved, its coat just flowed back and forth beautifully. The smaller dogs tend to also, they seem more playful. But I think some of the bigger dogs, it is harder. But the Terriers have won the most. You've had a couple Bichons the last couple years. It has seemed to go smaller dog, with the exception of the German Shepherd, I believe, 2 years ago, who took home Best in Show.
Interesting. Well, the dog show, always a spectacle, like I mentioned at the top. Always interesting to actually figure out how it works, and now I just have to remember to watch again next year, and then remember these little tips and tidbits about how it's actually judged, and then see for myself if I can actually pick out which dog is going to win. I'll never know the names, but at least, hey, we have an idea of how it works.
Yeah, it's tough watch. I was trying to judge it myself. I was thinking maybe, hey, for my blog post, I'm going to throw up a little scorecard, and mine was just all over the place. I saw the Pomeranian going. I'm like, yep, that's it. That's my guy.
That's the dog.
And he's not even in the finals.
He's got it.
I had the Best in Show. I would have gone with the long-haired Dachshund. I thought that dog, I saw a video. It's like winking at the camera. Like that dog is. I thought that was going to be it, but
that's
this
some
guy,
swagger right there.
This guy might have been an older school judge going with the Terrier.
Doesn't like the flashy.
The herding group always has a special place in my heart. With both the Corgi breeds in there, so I was hoping for one of those guys to place, but didn't quite happen.
We have a former. Close to show dog. I don't know exactly what champ is what we call him, but Howie, Pat's family dog. What? Explain to Howie.
Yeah, so Howie is a retired show dog. We got him about 2.5 years ago now. He's 10 years old. He had been a pretty successful show dog. I think at one point he got up to ranked 8th in the rankings, so he never got on the floor at the Garden, but he was up there. Of all the relatives, he had a I think he got to grand champion status. So he had won a bunch of shows. This guy was successful. It was weird when we first got him. He didn't really get how to play fetch. I think he was pretty much, those star child athletes that are kept they got to be ready for their sport.
Right.
He's a lot more playful now. He's enjoying his retirement, some of the golden years.
He was not allowed on grass, right?
Yeah, no. When he was with the breeder, they didn't let him go on grass because it would turn his paws green instead of white. So it's
That's these crazy
things. So, of course, now we get him. He's rolling around in the mud, going bounding out in the snow. So
the dogs, to be clear, it sounds like that's a terrible life for a dog. The dogs live glamorous lives. That these show dogs, not to say that you should keep your dog from going on the grass, but I get it, but also it's not as bad as it sounds. That's all I wanted to bring up right there.
Oh, yeah. Another fun fact about Howie, if you trace his lineage back enough, he actually does descend from the original standard of the Cardigan Welsh Corgi breed, so there's royalty in those bloodlines.
How about that? Well, Pat, always a pleasure to have you on. It's always good to talk dogs, but specifically the Westminster dog. Any other final thoughts we have on the show before we let you go?
Overall, I think it was a pretty strong year. you know, we had the classic winning. We had a couple new breeds showing up, which is always good to see. The overall point of the show, you know, it's to bring more awareness to the breeds, get people more interested in dogs.
It certainly works because, yeah. like we said before, we hadn't heard of half these breeds coming into it, and now all of a sudden it's like, I'm going to Google these, make sure I know what they look like, and then from here on I'm going to be looking for those dogs. Like, so, oh, that guy has a Havanese.
Yeah, so overall, you know, I think, yeah, it's an interesting thing to watch. I mean, I love dogs. Who doesn't? So I enjoy watching it. But yeah, even if you're not really into the whole breed thing, you get to watch dogs walk around for 3 hours a night for two nights. So what beats that?
Exactly. Well, Pat, again, thank you very much, and we will catch you next time.
Hey, honor being on.